Shabbat Shalom. We are going to have a message today entitled A Wing and a Prayer. Because there was no time this week to prepare a message, so I'm going to wing it. And we're going to do it with prayer. A wing and a prayer. How's that? We are going to look at John chapter 13. Okay, let's walk through this. And it's appropriate. I told you guys that I was going to start doing things to get us prepared for Passover, which is coming up at the end of the month. And I'm going to continue on our journey with John here because it's dealing with the Passover and is a good transition here. This very first verse is now before the Feast of the Passover. So I was going to talk a little bit about this, and then I decided not to. Next week, I'm going to give a whole message on, if you recall, last week, it began in verse 1 with, then 6 days before the Passover. And I had mentioned to you that I was going to talk about those 6 days. I'm going to talk about more than the 6 days. I'm going to talk about those 6 days, and then I'm also going to talk about the actual Passover. We're going to rehearse a little bit about why we keep the Passover as a holy day, because it is a holy day, and not necessarily the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that we used to do. So I'm going to cover all of that. I'm going to cover all the stuff, all the things that led up to the Passover, also the Passover, and go through the things that Yeshua was going through on Passover Day, and I just want to lay out the chronology so that when we start talking about other things, you have a clear picture in your mind of the events. There was something that occurred to me this week and inside that chronology, and also the way that we're keeping Passover now as a holy day, that it's just kind of blew my mind when it came to my mind. But I'm going to save that, share it for another time in that context. So let's start here. It says, now before the Feast of the Passover, when Yeshua knew that his hour had come and he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Whenever I read that verse, I think about the point that John was trying to make here. Because he's saying that he's about to talk about what he's about to do. And in this, much of this chapter has to do with the foot washing service at Passover. He's getting ready to talk about that. And he's setting Yeshua's attitude in the beginning. Because when Yeshua went to do all of this, he did it knowing who he was. And when you understand who he is, that he's God, that he actually made the people whose feet he's going to wash, that he provides the power for them to have existence, that he has done all of that, and yet they have completely forsaken him, as all of us have in our lives, right? Turned our back on him and his ways in one way or another. We've all had to repent of and continue to do, you know, in behaving that way. That's who he is. That's his position. And that's these people that have sinned against him. Who do we sin against? Okay, we sin. We sin against each other. We harm each other. We do things, but ultimately, we sin against God. And He is God. And so He knows that He's God. He understands who He is and who they are and what they have done to Him, what they're going to do to Him. And yet, in that perspective, He says, I'm going to go and I'm going to kneel down. I'm going to kneel down and wash their feet. And that deserves us pausing on this verse, especially before we come to that table on Passover evening and we read this verse. We'll read it again. We do every year. And when we read that, just really, between now and then, let that soak in what this attitude is. And you know what He tells us to do? He says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. And He says it in different ways. In another place, He says, they say that he says that we should do what? Love our enemies. Pray for them. Pray for those that spitefully use and abuse you and treat you bad. And we get treated bad. Yeshua has been treated bad. He's God. He's done all of this for you. Don't you? Isn't that where you get pain the most? When you pour out your heart to someone, when you serve someone, when you've done so much for somebody, and then they just smack you in the head and they do something that just irritates you. That hurts the most, doesn't it? And how do we react to that? In our flesh, we want to, well, that ain't right. I've done all of this for you. And see, that's what He's modeling for us in a much more gigantic way, because He's done everything for us. More than we could ever do for any other person, He has done for us. And He models that then when we behave to Him in that way, what's His model to us? Okay, you've done all that. I'm going to kneel down and wash your feet. You can't think that through enough. Because if you do, it will touch every part of your life. How you respond to just dang near everything. There's so much in God's Word when we just stop and let it just weigh in. Because I want you to notice the next thing. Because it puts an exclamation point on what I just said. Because John said, inspired by the Holy Spirit, supper being ended, the devil having already been put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing this, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Again, knowing that He was God. That He had come from God and was going to God. that he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and he started this process, and he said in verse 2, knowing that the devil already in the heart of Judas Iscariot. Guys, did he wash 11 men's feet? Or did he wash 12? Let that sink in a minute. That spoke to my heart so much this morning. As I think to all about all the people that I carry any animosity towards, any hard feelings towards, any baggage towards, my God set me the example that He knew who He was. And He knew that this man was going to go off and betray Him and drag Him through all of this day that He knew He had coming. And knowing all of that, knowing it clearly, because He said to him later, we're going to read it, Judas, what you do, go do quickly. He said that to him after this. After he kneeled and washed his feet, knowing exactly what he was going to do. He could have waited. He was in charge of the whole evening. He could have called him out right from the beginning. And he could have dipped that bread and gave it to him, said, go do what you're going to do, and I'm going to wash my disciples' feet. I'm going to wash just my disciples' feet. He could have changed that. He's in charge. He's God. He chose. I talk all the time about how all of this is decisions. Our God chose. He made a conscious decision to say, you know what, it doesn't matter. I'm going to wash your feet anyway. It bears repeating. Yeshua, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going to God, that He rose from supper, He laid aside His garments, He took a towel and girded Himself, and five, He began to wash their feet. I want you to notice something else that I noticed this morning. I never noticed it this way before. But in verse 4, he said he rose from supper and he did something interesting. I don't know. I haven't figured out how to do this. Because it's hard to do. You have to kill yourself to do it. Literally. You have to die a little bit to do this. He laid aside his garments. What does that mean? It means he took his clothes off. It occurred to me later on, we read as when he went up on that stake that they, remember, he had this garment that was woven of one, had no knots in it, and they did lots or whatever the guards to see who could get it. because it was something that was worthy of who he was. Okay? He didn't have anything else. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't build a house. He did none of this. But he did have a garment. And he took it and he laid it aside. Do you understand what that means? To take off all that you have that makes you who you are. That it's just to say that he's humbling himself. He's taken everything that he has off so that he can kneel at the feet of the one that is going to betray him. You try to wrap your head around that. What keeps us people from forgiving those that hurt us? What keeps us from doing that? Say it.
Pride.
You dang right. Because we deserve better. We treated them better. We deserve better. And you know, he was willing to just take that garment off. He said, it doesn't matter who I am. I'm going to do this anyway. I submit to you, family, that if we could learn to do that, you know what would happen? We'd live in the kingdom. That's kingdom living. We would be in the kingdom of God. That is kingdom living. I don't know. I got up this morning and I read that. It's just one little part. And I was blown away. And that's why I wanted to pray before this, because I just knew that if there was any way that this could get across, that I couldn't do it. And I'm just asking you just to soak in what God has to say, what the Spirit is telling us through this word here. It's one of the most powerful examples that we have in the Bible of what God has called us to. I'm not saying it's easy. This is godly behavior here, in stark contrast to our flesh. And in that sense, he's saying, lay aside your flesh. And that's why he said when it says he's laid aside his garments, how hard that is for us to do, because it's essentially saying that. This is godly behavior. You got to lay aside your flesh to do this. It's not impossible. But boy, it seems like it sometimes, doesn't it? But we can get a glimpse of it little by little if we'll just try it. Just step out on faith and just try it. And just say to God one day, just, okay, God, I believe you. Me doesn't matter. I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to do it. And just see what happens. See what happens. And I'm going to tell you another story here. I'm going to sink to the bottom of the story. He did this, and we've got to be aware of this, because when we go to follow Christ, The same thing might happen to us. Because he laid aside his garment, he washed Judas's feet, and he betrayed him anyway. He betrayed him anyway. And that was okay. Because God has to deal with Judas. The Father was going to deal with Judas. And Yeshua was okay with that. He was all right with it. Boy, there's not any truer words than in verse 7. He began to do this. In verse 5, he poured the water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And he answered him, he says, "You know, what I'm doing right now, you don't understand. You'll know later." It'll come to them later. Because you know what? It came to them later that who Judas was. And that Yeshua washed his feet. This lesson that I'm trying to get across this morning was not lost on these guys after the fact. Not at all. He says, "You'll understand." Peter said to him, "You'll never wash my feet." And he answered him, "Well, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me." Well, you know, Peter was pretty exuberant. He says, "So, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash all of me." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." And that was dual, because he was saying, "You're clean, but not all of you's clean. Your feet still needs cleaned. And not all of you are clean because Judas Iscariot is not clean." It's kind of a dual thing. You know, he said a lot of things in duality. And so I want to focus on one part of this. We know that Judas Iscariot was not clean. Okay. But he was saying to Peter, "You are clean, but not all of you is clean." His feet wasn't clean. And that's something that we have to recognize, right? When we come to that table at Passover, there is this kind of idea, maybe, that we come. It's not, we call it a rededication of the commitment and the covenant that we made at Passover, or at baptism. See, when you were baptized and you accepted Christ, His Spirit comes in you, you are clean. That's what He's saying here. You are clean. These people were baptized, but not all of them was clean. Why? Because they went out after that baptism and they started walking. Which is what we do. We come out of the waters of baptism. We walk this earth. We walk in Satan's world. We're called to come out of this world, but we don't do it all at once. We get our feet dirty. We get our feet dirty. And so when we get our feet dirty, they need washed. He says, we're already clean. That Spirit resides within us. We're clean, but we get our feet dirty. Now, he gives us an example of what we're supposed to do. Later on, he says, "Now, as I have done to you, so do to one another." So when we come to that service, that foot washing service at Passover, and we're washing each other's feet, what is that signifying to us? That we're accepting one another as being clean. We've got to be able to see Christ in each of us. And also know that we walk and that we need our feet cleaned. And who's going to clean our feet, people? Each other. We have to be able to be willing to expose the dirt on each other's feet, to help us clean each other's feet. So we are clean, but our feet get dirty. And if we look at each other that way, then we can look at each other the way that God looks at us, the way that Yeshua looked at Judas Iscariot, with forgiveness and love. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet, he'd taken back up his garments. He says, okay, now I am who I am. So now I'm going to teach you now. Right? Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He's saying, yes, I am God. I am Lord. I am teacher. And so if I have treated you this way, and this is a message coming on that when he said, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you will later. You will when you understand that I washed Judas's feet too. Because if I, your Lord and teacher, have done this, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Because I've given you this example, do as I have done to you. And when you read that, read into that everything we've already talked about above it. That this is how he did it. This is the example that he gave us. I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. Do you get that? The example that I have set to you is I am God and I've done these things. If anybody deserved to not have to forgive, to not have, you know, I've done everything, like I've already said. I deserve to be honored. I deserve to be lifted up. And yet, look how you've treated me. But it doesn't matter. I still wash your feet. And so if I have done that, how much more should you wash one another's feet? Guys, that is not some empty little just ritual thing that we do out of tradition on Passover. It has deep spiritual significance to how we are to behave all year long. How we are to honor that example that God set for us when he was here in the flesh. He goes, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Not because you go, just because you go do the ritual. You'll be blessed if you do them, because guess what, guys? If we walk the way that Yeshua walked, if we actually apply that, there will be blessings in those relationships. Blessings in the way that we do things. We will, without question, be able, we will see the promise that we will reap what we sow. If we sow that kind of attitude into our relationships, we will sow the blessings. It is guaranteed. It cannot fail. We just have to be able to lay aside our garment long enough to put it into play. And that's what's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. And I get emotional, I know that, because, guys, the Spirit is preaching to me. You understand that? And so that's why it gets to me, because that's why. He says, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. See, he knew. Don't worry about the barking. The mailman just came. He's barking at the mailman. Okay. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am. I didn't say he. He says it again. I am. He says that you may believe that I am. I wish the am was capitalized and the he wasn't there. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When he had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples. Boom, what did I say? Boom. Boom. I try to go too fast. Leaning on Jesus' bosom. What's worse, bosom or boom? I mean, boom. Boom isn't even anything. I didn't say bum. Bum would have been funny. Anyway. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? And he answered and says, it is to he whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. He went through this like that because he was fulfilling a prophecy. And then he said to him, what you do, do quickly. So again, he knew ahead of time. This really, really speaks to you when you think about it. No one at the table knew for what reason he had said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that he was saying, go and buy the things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. But having received the bread, Judas knew, and he went out immediately. It was night, and so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. Why did he say that? Because he knew that when he did that action, that he was setting everything in motion that had to come to pass. And he knew what that was. And he knew that that's why he had come. That he knew that that would glorify the Father. Why would it glorify the Father? Because he's coming and doing what the Father sent him to do. And so when we do what God says for us to do, do you understand that we're glorifying him? Because that's what he's saying here. The Son is glorified and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. I love it that he calls them little children. I love that. Just because that's what we are, right? Even those disciples, they were little children. I shall be with you a little while longer. If you will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you can't come. And so as I said to them, now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you. That's actually a refresh. It's a refreshment. That's what that word means. I want to refresh this commandment that I have given you. I've given you the Ten Commandments. You know, what are the Ten Commandments? The royal law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's a Hebrew idiom for the law. And he said, I want to refresh this. I want you to understand that I want you to love one another. As I have loved you, as you're going to see demonstrated throughout the rest of this day, my great love for you, and how I have just loved you by removing my garment and kneeling at your feet, knowing who I am and where I'm going to and what you, how you have treated me, and I kneel and wash your feet, knowing how I have loved you. I want you to love one another that way. I want you to take the way I have just demonstrated to you to behave with one another, to serve one another, to treat one another. And I want you to go do that. I want you to do it. And by doing that, the world will know that you're a disciple. That's how the world will know that you're a disciple. By doing the love that I'm showing you tonight, and I'm showing you through the rest of this day what's going to happen. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? He says, well, you can't go where I'm going now, but this is great. He says, but you shall follow me afterward. After what? After their whole experience on this earth and, you know, dying and going to sleep, and they're going to wake up. You know, I love that where when, do you remember when Lazarus was dead and Yeshua came? What did he say to him? He said, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus was dead. Right? Now, he had told them that Lazarus sleeps. And so they discussed, well, he's just sleeping. No. Christ said very plainly, Lazarus is dead. I'm referring to him sleeping because he's sleeping. He's sleeping in death. He's dead. Couldn't be any clearer. He's dead. But what's cool is Lazarus, being dead, heard Yeshua's voice. Remember what we talked about the other day? About the sheep know the shepherd's voice? You can have comfort that when you're in that grave, that if you're used to hearing that voice when he says your name and he says come forth, you'll hear him. Jesus answers and says, you can't follow me now, but you'll follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I'll lay down my life for your sake. And he said, well, yeah, I know. Maybe so, but as for tonight, you're going to deny me three times. I encourage you guys, really, to just, I mean, you know, it is such a challenge to go through this book of John, because there is no way I can tell you what this book says. Right? I mean, the Holy Spirit wrote this through John, and the Holy Spirit has to read this through you. Right? And so that's why I really want to more and more encourage and this pattern that's in the church. One of the things that I love about what we do is that we are called to be a body. We're called to be together. We're called to wash each other's feet. We're called to build one another up, to help one another. We're called to be a body, right? We're not called in this kind of this structure that we have, you know, that has been modeled for us for church. We don't go to church, people. We are the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. We're not having church. We're living church. The ecclesia, the body. And it's not about a person being over the church. Not at all. This whole concept of pastoralship and leadership and laity, I'm telling you guys, I think it's straight from the mouth of Satan, the devil himself. Now, why do I say that? And I've been thinking about this. Because I think that is why for so long I talk about it all the time that I've resisted, you know, pastor. Because that's exactly what the government, what the church did to begin to corrupt. Why is it that the church is divided? We've seen that on our personal example with the Worldwide Church of God. And it isn't constricted to that body. It's happened to every other one there is. That's why there's a First Baptist and a Second Baptist. That's why there's a this and that and everything else. Why? Because people rise to be the leadership and the laity down here, and these guys get to arguing about who has control, and the next thing you know, that body is divided, and the lay people have nothing to do with it. I see that in Worldwide right now. You go out in Worldwide, and the people, they're victims. If it was up to the people, they'd all still be one church. And what does the papacy do? The papacy rises itself up. What do we have in the Bible? What did Yeshua teach against? The Pharisees rising themselves up and wanting to sit in the seat of Moses and have control over the people. I don't want that. I press against that. I will accept helping the body, but I helping the body is just one way. I'm one, not multiple. My piece isn't bigger than every other piece of this body. And I want all of you, as much as I've had to take on the part of the body that I can be, I need all of you to do the same thing. God is calling you to do the same thing. Don't know how I got off on that and wasn't even part of this, but there we go. Let's circle up. That's how I got onto it, because I want to circle up. I want this to be more about, you know, I want you guys to soak in this. I want you guys to share what the Spirit has said to you here, not just to me, right?